I want us to think for a bit tonight about prayer and this idea of Jesus praying for us and Jesus praying in us. So both that, you know, Jesus in heaven is interceding for us. So in heaven just now, yeah. God is not just listening to our prayers, he's listening to Jesus' prayers. You know, Isaiah 53, he made intercession for the transgressors, is not only a statement about what happened in the cross, although it is a statement of that. Also this idea of Jesus praying in us, as Paul says in Romans, you know, that God's Spirit groans in us. Groans that words cannot express. We do not know how to pray, says Paul. You know, when people say, I'm not very good at prayer, so was Paul. He wasn't very good at prayer either, and none of the people he knew were very good at prayer. But what he did know was the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit within us cries, Abba, Father. I mean, just think for a moment about what is going on within us. God sends the Son, and the Father and the Son sends the Spirit who is in us, and then the Spirit within us cries, Abba, Father. It's this circle going on, Father, Son, Spirit, back to the Father again. And, you know, I'm sure that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit could have had a great time with each other without us. But as that song said, he didn't want heaven without us. Yeah, he wanted to draw us into what he was, who he was. So God actually chooses, first of all, to let his Son live on the earth. So the worship is going from heaven to earth and back again. And then he chooses to put the Holy Spirit within us. So actually, God's Spirit communicates to the Father from within our spirits. That's a big thought. And if what Paul says in Romans is right, prayer is kind of about trying to catch on to what the Holy Spirit is doing in us. Yeah, it's not a matter of getting the right words. It's about cooperating with the cry of the Holy Spirit in us. And these groans of the Holy Spirit produce are like the groan of the whole new creation. God is birthing something new. And I have got into the past for quoting verses about childbirth and what do I as a man know about it. But I have been there 3 times. And I do know that it is painful. Stop it. I do know it is. But that groan is producing something new and something wonderful. And the groan, you know, the Holy Spirit is not groaning in us. Oh, isn't life awful? The Holy Spirit is not moaning. The Holy Spirit is groaning within us. Because he is bringing forth something new. And that cry goes up to God. Because the groan of the new creation, like sometimes the groan of childbirth, is not something that words can adequately express. So, in prayer, we take our words, we try to form them before God, but we're also trying to listen to what is God doing within us? What is he saying to us? You know, it's no longer I that lives, Paul says, quoted this earlier. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And of course, Jesus said to his disciples when he was about to go back to the Father, as John's Gospel wonderfully puts it, that he says, it's actually to your advantage that I go away. Because the Holy Spirit will come and the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. Now, this week I was looking at John chapter 17. I had actually planned to speak about John chapter 17 the week of the snow when we ended up not having an evening service. So I was looking at it again this week. And a thought occurred to me, which may be blindingly obvious to everybody else, but honestly, I don't think it occurred to me before this week, that the three chapters before, 14, 15, 16, are about the work of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, they are about Jesus' promise to send the Spirit. He's going away, he's going to send another comforter. And that's what the bit about I am the true vine is about. You know, remain in me. You're going to get this wonderful source of life from me. He's still talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. But he says in those chapters, I will ask the Father, and the Father will send another comforter who will be with you forever. Now, the thing that never occurred to me was that I had kind of imagined that when Jesus said, I will ask the Father, that he was talking about what he'd do post-resurrection. But actually, he's talking about his prayer in John chapter 17. I mean, presumably he is still doing it after the resurrection. But in John chapter 17, he's actually asking the Father to send the Holy Spirit upon God's people. The Holy Spirit is not poured out in quite this way until after the resurrection, but Jesus asks for it here. So he says, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is a prayer about us knowing God. This is a prayer about us experiencing God. And towards the end of this prayer, he prays not only for his disciples who are with him at that moment, but he prays for us. And here, the prayer just goes so amazing. It's hard for us to take in. We can't quite imagine that Jesus would say what he says. I pray for those who will believe in me through their message, the message of the first generation of disciples, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. I don't think intimacy was a word that they used too much in that generation, but intimacy is the word to describe what is being prayed for here. That there will be a unity between the church, between the people in the church, that will be the same as the unity between the Father and the Son. Now, I take it that that is a prayer for God to send the Holy Spirit, because how else are we going to get that sort of unity, the oneness of relationship, the Spirit moving between the Father and the Son becomes the Spirit who is moving between us and the Spirit who is moving between us and God. We're trying to describe something here that is just about impossible to describe. There was an old Scottish saying about the Holy Spirit, and it only works in Scottish dialect, that the Holy Spirit is better felt than telt. See, felt than told doesn't quite have the same sort of ring to it, does it? The Holy Spirit is better felt than telt. And I think for us, it's only as we really begin to experience the things that are being talked about here that we begin to understand it. You know, how can the love between us be similar not just similar, but the same thing as the love that there is between the Father and the Son. But remember, this is Jesus praying for us. Yeah? And this is Jesus praying for another one to come, the Spirit, who is like him. And your Jesus says, he will be in you. So there is this cooperation between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit within us. Which is what he goes on to say, you know, may they also be in us. And that makes me cry out, well, Lord, yes, let Mills Hill Baptist Church be in God today. May something of the amazing relationship that the Father and the Son have together be shared with us. And just, I'm jumping through the verses here. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. Now, he's not, I think, primarily saying when they die, I want them to be with me. He's saying, I want them to share the experience that I have. And I want them to see my glory. The glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Jesus prays to the Father that we will see his glory. He wants us to know it, experience it. And I don't know about you, but I want to say, yes, please. That's what we want. Jesus tells us in chapter 15 that he no longer calls us servants, but he now calls us friends. So, and the distinction he's making, a servant is just somebody who's told what to do. A friend is somebody who actually gets to know somebody, understands, and works with them to achieve that end. So, you know, if you're paid to do a job, you care about your pay packet, and you may well work hard because that'll help you get your pay packet. But if you actually believe in the business that you've been given, if you think that's a business that matters, you'll work for it on a different level. So Jesus is pointing us to a relationship with God that is about us abiding in him and him abiding in us. Not a perfect relationship, not one where we never have to say sorry, but one that is real. Eternal life, getting back to where we came in. Eternal life is to know God and to know Jesus Christ, who he has sent. And Jesus says, I want those you've given me to see my glory. And part of that is learning how to pray. So the question for that then becomes, well, so what? You know, if it is about Jesus at work in us, what do we actually do? How do we create an environment in which this will really happen? And Jesus' answer in John 14 to 16 and all the way across the New Testament is, a new commandment that I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. Everybody will know you are my disciples if you love one another. You know, what's going to let the presence of God loose in your community? Loving each other. And then Jesus says, you know, if you let this remain in you, if it stays with you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. If God is allowed a clean way of working within you, if you're not blocking what God is doing, then prayer will be answered. So if that's the case, if we say, well, why aren't our prayers being answered? Well, sometimes the answer may be we're not loving as we should love. Sometimes it might be that we haven't let the Spirit of God work in us enough that we're actually aware of what he's doing. We're not really working for the Father's business. We're working for our own. But what I'd like us to do, I'd like us to be sort of quiet for a little while. And I'm going to come in with some lines from Scripture and just see how they speak to you this evening, and just gently ask God by his Holy Spirit to move in you and in us, that we can learn what it means that he should be praying for us and he should be praying in us. Some words from Galatians. You are God's children. And because of this, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I have been crucified with Christ, and I live. No longer I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus says, unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people don't believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Father, we praise you this evening that Jesus is alive, that he rose from the dead, that he ascended into heaven where he received the Holy Spirit and poured him out upon his people. Father, we praise you that today Jesus is interceding in heaven for us. And that the Holy Spirit within us cries out with groans that words cannot express. Father, we praise you that there is a stirring that is deep within us because you live in us. As Jesus said, you have come and you have made your home in us. So, Father, we pray that you would help us to stay in step with what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. Help us to keep the commandments of the Lord that we should love one another so that everybody will know that we are the disciples of Jesus because his Spirit is in us and because we are becoming like him. Lord, thank you today that it doesn't all depend on our effort. Thank you that today we live, our faith in you is real, but it's far more about your faithfulness to us than it is about our faithfulness to you. So Lord, have mercy on us, we pray. Forgive us our sins, and to you be the glory. Amen.